This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9.
And welcome to Orange Ribbon on Joy 94.9, today with Hugh, Howe and Mark. In today's show, we'll be talking to Henry, who originally comes from Colombia. Henry was for several years a novitiate in the Dominican Catholic Church and spent time in Europe and the USA, where he met his partner. We'll be talking about Henry's time in the church, meeting the Pope, and what brings him to Australia. Another interesting chat coming up here on Joy Orange Ribbon. So please stay with us for next hour here on Joy 94.9. So, Henry, can you tell us a bit about that last song we just played?
Okay, this is a song about the Colombia called Yo Me Llamo Cumbia. Talking the Colombia is the country with the many African influence. Uh-huh. Because has the colonization from Spain and bring the black people, the slave, yeah, for working in Colombia and building that country.
Cool. It has an African influence.
Why African influence?
Yeah.
Because in the 1458, when the discovery for Colombia, the Spain people bring the slave, because the Indians in Colombia, they are not very powerful and energy for building the country.
Okay, mm-hmm. That's something I didn't know. There we go.
Yes.
So it's very much a mix of sort of the black culture and also the Spanish culture.
Yes, has two divisions in Colombia, like a culture from African culture, and also it's a Spanish heritage culture.
Okay. Is the culture very mixed now? Like, is there still very distinct African culture, like with people, or is it all very much like it's all like a melting pot? It's all mixed together now that it's a bit hard to like separate the different bits.
It's, for example, in the north part of my country, on the Pacific South, is mostly African,
mm-hmm, right.
Mostly black people, but inside the country, like my city, the Cundinamarca, I stay in Bogota, and all this area, the Andina area, is more white people. Mm-hmm. But if Colombia, if the people know about the Colombia, it's about the cumbia, and the cumbia is from Africans heritage.
Yeah. Yeah. Cool. Bogota. Spoke to someone before about Bogota, but just remind me, what type of city is it? Is it small, large?
Bogota is the biggest city in Colombia. It's the capital. Mm. Has around 8 million.
8 million people?
Yes.
Really?
The population, like the same population in New York. Mm. The biggest cities. Some people call many years ago, the Colombia was the Athens,
yeah,
from South America. Has the many business, international business, many people traveling to Colombia, to Bogota, for business, for study, for many plastic surgeries.
Yeah.
In Colombia, very
plastic surgery.
Oh, must go.
Bogota and Cali had two countries in South America that are very famous for plastic surgeries.
Yeah.
Right.
It's Bogota and Brazil. Bogota, I know Bogota, and it has many plastic surgeries in Bogota and Cali.
What about the people that live there? I mean, I know that there's a lot of rich people there, but what about the poor? Who outweighs? Is it more rich than poor or poorer than rich?
It's half-half. Some people say had three distinctions, rich, poor, and medium. We can see the rich people, we can see the medium class, and the poor.
Mm-hmm.
But in the neighborhoods, they are very distinctions. The neighborhoods, right, you can see only for the rich people, or for the poor people, or middle class. But right, you didn't see, like in America and other countries in around the world, the rich neighborhoods near to the poor people.
Right. Is there a system in your country for the poor people that the government help them and give them money? Or?
To the old people, to the elders, like you don't receive the pensioner, you receive like $50. Mm. I think in Spanish, in Colombian currency, yeah, $50.
Right.
It's
so there's sort of a social security net for them.
Yeah, and it's you're probably going to the public hospitals, and that's it.
Right.
And receive the money, and for the very, very poor people. But the government gives some help for you guys, like buy your new house, get the help for that. You like when you buy your first new house for those things.
So you get like a subsidy.
Yes.
So it's like, these are like the Australian, the first homeowner grant.
Something like that, but very similar, but something like that. Like if the house is like 25,000, the government get 1,000.
Okay.
And you need to pay another money around the 20 years.
Okay. Oh. What about you, Henry? Tell us a little bit about you. What type of upbringing did you have? Do you mean
middle class or?
Middle class. My father, he was working for the electricity company.
Okay.
And my mother working for the government.
Uh-huh.
The government, like a president house, something like that. She worked there, and we went to the private schools.
Okay.
And all these things. We live in the regular neighborhood.
Mm. Is the private school like run by like the Catholic Church, or is it like private? It's just a business, private.
Okay, my country is 99% Catholic.
Right.
Everything's run by the Catholic Church.
Yes, if the best schools, they are belong to a Catholic.
Right.
You had a private Catholic, a private schools, but they are not belong to a Catholic Church. Mm-hmm. But the education in the Catholic is best.
You said your country is 99% Catholic.
Yes, God bless you.
Is that because people feel they have to be Catholic, or because they want to be Catholic?
Colombia was like a colonization and for the Spanish inheritance.
Hmm.
Yep.
Mostly the countries in South America, they are Catholic. And then all these things, you grow out in the Catholic country, you must go into the Catholic Church and you go. But the people, right now, the people going two or three times for the church. The first day, like they christen it, the second for get married, and the third for the funeral.
Right, yeah.
But never give the money to the Catholic Church.
Right.
Never, the people say we need going to the Catholic school because it has a good education.
Mm.
But the people, they are not belong now to the Catholic Church with the many problems. Mm-mm.
So it's sort of the heritage is 99%, but the amount of people who actually go to church on a regular basis is a lot lower.
Yes, it's the people going there, and no, it's mandatory now get the collection.
Right.
Many years ago, you need to get the collection. You need to get the people thinking you get your land or your money, you go into the heaven. So now the church is going to change the idea for all these things and coming like a regular in mostly the countries. But 99% my country is Catholic.
Okay.
Catholic, and many things about the Catholic Church.
Great. Yeah. Thanks for that.
This is On Driven with Mark, Howe and Hugh, and you're listening to Joy 94.9.
And welcome back to Orange Ribbon on Joy 94.9 with Hal, Mark and Hugh. And our guest today is Henry from Colombia.
So, Henry, can you tell us a bit about that song we just played?
Okay, this song is called Feria de Manizales. We just remember the Blue Fairies Festival we are playing in January in Colombia.
Cool.
Yeah, it sort of put me in mind of a bullfight or something like that, didn't it? It was a very raunchy time.
You were swishing your cape around in your head, weren't you?
So it's like Spanish culture is very strong in Colombia then, isn't it? I mean, like bullfighting and all that activities.
Yes, we had many bullfights in January, the festivals in Bogota, and in Cali in December, in Manizales in January. And our Spanish heritage is very strong. Mm-hmm. And you can see the prince and the queen from Spain traveling to Colombia for vacations, like maybe Elizabeth King to Australia, I don't know.
Okay.
Cool. So just talking about sort of the Spanish influence and the Catholic element there, so how does that impact you growing up as a child and sort of when you started thinking you were gay, how did that sort of impact you?
Now I made like this flashback. When I grew up, I realized I will be gay in was 18 years old, in the Maya school. And so I don't know if it's sin or not sin, but I think so. It's like another side of the world.
Yeah. So is it sort of obvious that people are gay in Colombia, or is it very much sort of an underground thing? People don't talk about it, or did you know other gay people before you sort of came out?
Well,
or before you knew you were gay?
Yeah, by the time a few people okay, and a few bars discuss all these things, and you say, "Gay, oh my God, it's like you had the cancer or something like that." Mm. And the people looking you like a strain, like a green dog, and say, "Oh, you gay." And the people thinking, mostly the gay people, they are like hairdressings, or maybe mostly right. They hide the signs they are gay. But many years ago, we had a gay president. Why not now?
Yeah. I mean, it's all very stereotypical type of like say, you know, when you say like hairdressers and stuff like that. It's all very that they have a very like an idea on what a gay person looks like or act like, doesn't it? In the country,
yes, mostly you think the gay people is the hairdressing or the designs or the people. So when you in your a regular family in Colombia, the guy 18 years say, "I will be hairdressing." The people say, "Are you gay?"
Yeah.
Or design like interior design or something like that. Are you gay? Are you gay? Mm. Mostly people say the architect people study 80% they are gay. Mm. But so I have so many lawyers.
How now? In your country, you've got military service. It's compulsory.
Yes.
So, how do the gay guys cope with the military service?
Do they enjoy it?
Oh, the Navy. In Colombia, it's compulsory going to the service, army service, or air force. All this. If you don't go in, you need like a guarantee your military ID. Mm. But if are you gay? You need to say, "I am gay." And now, with the change of the constitution in Colombia, they are like a more respect about that. But if you go into the army school and say, "I don't want to go into the army because I am gay," say, "I'm sorry, you can go into the office and to be work going for 1 year and a half in the office, gay or no gay."
Okay.
Okay.
But so mostly people thinking, because I am gay, I don't want to go into the mountains, because mostly the army service in Colombia, you go into the mountains and fight it with the guerrilla. You don't want to stay in the office with the general and lieutenants. And sometimes has an influence in Colombia. So the son of the senators, he don't want going, because going to the office, like other gay people going to the office too.
Mm. So was it something that was used by people to sort of straight guys who were didn't want to go into the army would say that, "Oh, I'm gay." Was that sort of done as an excuse? Or
no, I don't think so, because they stereotype, say, "Oh, it's
that'd be even worse."
Yes.
So they'd rather go fighting the guerrillas in the mountains than do that.
No. They only the gay people. Oh, because you know, no, it's good going to army service. I didn't go there. I wish, but no.
Now, tell us a little bit about your working with the church. You started studying to be a priest at one point, didn't you?
Yeah, before that, when I finished my high school, I went to be a missionary teacher.
Right.
Like for 2 years in Colombia, dangerous area in Colombia. And after that, I entered to the religious community, the second most traditional communities in the world.
Is it common for people in your country to want to serve the community? Because I've spoken to two people from Colombia, and both of them said, "I don't want to leave Colombia because I'm privileged, so I can help the poor." Is that quite common?
No.
No?
Yeah, but it depends of where you grow out on traditions.
Mm. I mean, you went to a missionary. Why did you go?
Why? Because I like the service. I like working. I like the community service, give the help to the people.
Mm.
This is the reason I went there in the mountains in Colombia. And after that, the Catholic Church, working like an international missionary, sent me like to Europe for going and stay 3 months, because has an influence with the... I am do this service with the Diocese of the Socorro San Gil. By the time the bishop was my friend. So it was those things. Not all the people going and working a missionary in the mountains in Colombia going to Europe.
So when you were deciding to go into the missionary, how did, obviously at the time you knew you were gay, presumably. So how did that have any influence on your decision, or did it sort of have an effect on your choice?
I don't think so. Has a, you thinking has a 80% is going to a missionary because are you gay, or because I am no gay I will go in there, I say I will go in there as a human person. One thing is to be a gay and we're service in any missionary. You can service in any religion too.
Yep. So the fact that the church doesn't approve of homosexuality doesn't sort of impact on your sort of urge to help the needy sort of thing. That took precedence sort of thing.
In 1987, I do this missionary service. In the Catholic Church, like a taboo. You never talking about if I am gay or not gay.
Right.
In Colombia. I am talking about the Colombia. If you just go in and talk with your vocational director in Colombia, say, I am gay, but I have the vocations.
Yep.
My vocation in my heart is strong. I am to be a priest. And also my family get a lot of money to the community. The priest thinking, no, we don't need the money. Go away. I don't need the gay people more.
So
it's different, the religious ordens in Colombia than the religious orden around the world. It's like I was a Dominican in USA, was different over there. Mm-hmm. I was a Dominican in the one province is the more liberal province in the world.
Right.
And this province, all the province, he know, are you gay? Because it's better when you say the truth to your brothers, to the priests, when you stay like under the table and you're looking at the people like, oh, nice. It's better when you say the truth.
Welcome back to Orange Ribbon with Hal, Mark and Hugh. And our guest today is Henry from Colombia.
So Henry, do you want to tell us a bit about that song?
Yes, it's the Gregorian songs. They are belong more to the Catholic Church. And that one, they are from monks in Osma in Spain.
Okay, cool. So obviously that's some Gregorian chanting there. Is that the sort of thing that you did as part of your seminary work? Or?
Yes, we are, for Medocin, you need learner Latin. So we sing in Latin in our prayers.
Yep.
Once every night we pray the last prayer around the 9:30 p.m. We pray in Latin.
So I know that in the rest of the world, the Catholic Church preach in the country, the language of the country that they're preaching in. In Colombia, is all the churches still in Latin?
No.
No?
Only the first language of Colombia is Spanish, but the Latin is like the language in the Catholic Church.
Right.
In the Vatican, mostly the documents, they are in Latin. Okay. When the Pope made like a bulla. Bulla like a constitutions,
right.
Mostly the documents they are in Latin.
What interests me, Henry, is what made you decide to become or start training to become a priest?
Well, I am not to be a priest. I am training to be a brother, Dominican brother. It's difference. Mm.
Okay, so, what's the difference between a brother and a priest?
Priest is the in charge of the celebrate the mass, listen the confessions, and consecrate the bread and the wine to the Holy Communion.
Mm-hmm.
Brother is the assistant for the priest. Mostly the times the brother they are teachers or working in the administration for the schools, the universities, and the parish.
Mm. You set out to become a brother.
Yes.
But didn't you actually end up training to be a priest?
No.
No?
We are going to the education for brothers and priests, they are the same.
Right, okay.
We are going to the same pre-novitiate, and when I finish our novitiate, the community asks, do you want to be a brother or a priest? And say, okay, brother or priest. And I say, I want to be a brother. They will say, okay, the best thing for you is continue your education in philosophy, mm-hmm. and after make another master according at your background educations in your original country.
So really, basically, you start off at learning the same thing as a priest, and then it's only after like a couple of years learning, then you can decide on whether you want to be a brother or a priest, and then you go in a different path for the two different, I guess, vocation.
Education. Yeah. Yes, we are start the first, for to be a priest in the Dominican order, you need to study 8 years.
Eight years.
Around the... In the second year, the community asks, we want to be a priest or a brother? Say, brother. So go in and study different masters.
Mm-hmm.
But in any moment, when you receive your solemnity vows, you make the vow for to be a brother. But if the Pope, only the Pope, asks, we need a Henry to be a priest because we need the vocations for priests, ask me. Mm-hmm. I make my obedient vows. I say, yes, the Pope asks me.
Right.
The other way is, you know, I want to continue a brother.
Mm. So just talking about the vows, so obviously most people think of when you become a priest or a brother, the whole thing about the celibacy. And how did that sort of play out with you being going into that seminary and then also being gay and sort of having to provide vows of chastity
okay.
or celibacy, whichever?
We had a when you go into the community, you make three vows: chastity, obedience, and poverty. We are, as a religion, if are you gay, you need to make the vows of the celibacy. What is the celibacy and chastity difference? Celibacy is, the people say, what is the difference?
Yeah.
What is the difference? What is the celibacy and chastity? People thinking, are the chastity? No. Celibacy is that everybody has a compromise, like the married people, mm-hmm. or in the orders. A religious or a priest is a celibacy, no sexual relations.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So what you're actually saying is you make the vow, but you can still have sex.
No, because you made the vows, and if you've broken your vows, you can go in and make your confession.
But it's sort of accepted that the chances are that people will break their vows. And
yeah. It's the, you continue breaking your vows, it's better you're going out from the community. It's like a, you're married, and you continue to be like a play around your wife. Mm.
Right.
And every day, it's better get the divorce and go in and play every day with your girlfriends. Yeah.
So basically, you do the vow of celibacy and they say, oh, I'll not have sex. And then you go and have sex and then you go to confession and say, oh, I had sex today, so I was bad. So like 10 bloody Hail Marys.
Hail Marys.
Hail Marys, sorry.
You even dropped your mic there.
10 Bloody Marys might be useful as well.
Yeah.
I
don't think so. It's 10 Bloody Marys? No. Bloody Marys?
Yeah.
Oh, good. Cocktails. Okay. No, it's... you don't go in and say to the priest, okay, I made those things. I broke my chastity vows. I broke my celibacy vows. You say to the priest, I broke it, or I attend to the 439 to the
so you refer to the constitution.
Yes, yeah. To the canonic.
Okay,
and
cool.
Say, oh, and the priest, he know, and he doesn't, and cool. He ask the question, how, where, who.
You can find more Joycast and show blogs. Go to joy.org.au.
And welcome back to Joy 94.9 with Hugh, Mark and Howe. So Henry, that was obviously a Dolly Parton song, so sort of bring us back into the chat with you about your move to America. So you were in Colombia studying, and then how did you end up in America?
Okay, I sent my application to Dominicans and invite me for a move to USA and study English, and after start enjoy the Dominican community. And I made my prenuptiate in Memphis, Tennessee.
Okay.
So the prenuptiate mostly in another countries, therefore 6 months, 1 year. In this country, in this province, only for 3 months in Memphis, Tennessee, in the summer.
Nice. Okay. So the church sort of sponsored you to move to America to learn English and to carry on your novitiate studies.
Yes, the Catholic Church and the community invite me. And we say, how? I don't have the money. How will travel in there? I don't want swimming like the people from another country going to USA. Mm. So the community say, don't worry. We are pay everything. And the day you will leave from the Dominicans, we are not asked for nothing.
Okay.
This is the vocation. And also the community need a vocation. We need the people.
How did the American people receive you? You know, not being able to speak English at first and just learning English, did they welcome you with open arms?
Or? Yeah, very, very welcomes the community. The Americans are very grateful. The people from another countries came to the religious order in USA, like a building, a rebuilding the community. Because we don't, by the time in 1999, no new vocations.
Okay.
Mostly all people and we had many schools and universities, parish and no vocation. So we need to bring the people from mostly the countries from South America.
Right.
Because we don't have any vocations in America. In America, somebody going and enter to the community, we need and after the 35 years old and bring the master degree. In South America, if you want to be a Dominican, you need enter like around the 18 years old.
18 years
old. Yes. After the 25 years, are you not very welcome to the Dominicans?
18 is very young to have to start, is it?
Sometimes you can enter before.
Yeah.
You finish your high school 16, you enter, but you only make your vows after the 18 years for the constitutions of the community.
Right.
So mostly the people around the no, another constitution is after the 25 year before 25 years. You can to be ordained to a priest. You need has after the 25 years.
Mm.
So if somebody enter to the 16, need made all his career until got it 25 years after that.
I mean, already. At 18 years old, do you really know what you want to do? And it's a big commitment to go into the church.
And I also wonder whether that has like. If say you know a person from a poor background, would they see that as a way to escape the poverty that they're in by going into the church and I mean be looked after by the church as well? Do you think that would be what that there might be one reason why some people might do it in such a young age?
Yeah, mostly the people when enter to the community around the 16 years, 17 years old, is the people grow out in the religious schools. Mm. We call a minor seminary. Grow out, so the people he know what is going on.
When so it's sort of like a university, in effect.
Yes, it's like a freshman and after, because when you enter to the, you go in and make your high school in the minor seminary, you learn Latin, Greek, and Hebrew, and history of the Catholic Church, and all these things. So when you enter to the seminary, are you already with all the education and say, what is going on?
At the beginning of the show, you mentioned that in Colombia, 99% of the people there are Catholic. Is the pressure on a lot of young men to enter the church by their parents or the local priest or somebody? Are they sort of pressurized into it?
Sometimes it's more pressure for the family.
For the family?
Yes, because all the more he wants his son to be a priest.
Right. So they're looked upon if their son...
Yes, it's like, oh, my son is a priest. My son never to be a bitch, but my son is a priest. Oh, or my daughter is a sister. No, very happy in Colombia for sisters.
For the nuns?
Nuns, none, but no, no, but more for a priest.
Why not the nuns?
Because in Colombia, the nuns, they are a basic. He never has a power. He never has only to be in the schools or teachers. A so priest, you can grow out.
You make it sound really weird because it's all about power. And this is the Catholic Church we're talking about. You know, the brother is an assistant
it
to the priest.
Sounds quite political.
Yeah, and the nun. So I take it a nun's looked even less than a brother.
Say something. For example, the priest, he wearing his habit or wearing a Roman coyote, but always, mostly than wearing a normal cloth like you're wearing. The nuns and sisters always wearing the habit.
Right.
They only can buy expensive things or something different, the underwear, I think so, and the shoes, and that's it. But the priest, he need wearing a normal clothes, so, and always wearing, the sister wearing the habit, the priest wearing any kind of clothes. So it's different.
Talking about that.
And education.
You've just made me think of something. Because it's something I've always wondered about is, do the Catholic Church actually pay the priest, or does the priest live on what's collected every week at Mass? I know this is a funny question, but how do the priests live? Where do they get their money from?
Well, all the money for the collections. Are you a priest in the poor community? Your salary is nothing. Mostly now the bishops in the country say, okay, everybody has a regular salary, like $300 a month. In Latin America, $300 a month is a lot. But if the parish is very poor, we need pay $300 for your salary, the money for your car, the gas, the money for the housekeeper, the money for the wine, electricity. I don't think so with the poor parish, he can receive all the money. And also we need send the money to the Vatican.
Really?
Yes, and send the money to the salary for the bishop, and the salary for the bishop no, is the $300.
I bet you. Just let me then go back to America. A priest in America, could he live off what's collected each week in the church?
It's different.
Yeah.
Depends. It's a priest for the diocese or it's a priest for the community. In my case, as a Dominican, the priest only receives like $120 a month. But the community pay for you everything.
Right. Right.
So it's different. It's so total difference.
Your rent and your living and your expenses are all covered by the church. So it's just pocket money in effect that you're given.
You go into the community, the credit cards in America is normal. Mm. And you go in and buy, choose clothes and you give the receipt to the guy in charge of the money.
The finance.
And say, I got it, those things. So he pay for your shoes.
Right.
So your $120 is maybe for your cigarettes, but sometimes the committee buy the cigarette for you.
We're talking about a priest and how they live. How do the brothers live then?
The same. Yeah, we receive the same allowance, like $120. If you need traveling to many meetings, all these things, the committee pay for your tickets.
Right.
You will stay in the hotel, the committee pay for you in your hotel. Everything is the community doesn't has a distinction. If are you a priest or are you a brother?
It's almost like fringe benefits, isn't it?
the no distinctions in the community.
Mm.
The only things maybe has a distinction is if you need a specific, like if are you working the computers, so your computers are more sophisticated than the another computer than brothers. Mm-hmm. But mostly I think they are the same because we are this, no any difference.
Mm. Just let me sort of jump a little bit. You told us that you spent some of your time at the Vatican. You met Pope John?
John Paul II.
Yeah.
But no, in the Vatican, in Colombia.
Oh, in Colombia, sorry.
He traveled in Colombia in 1986. By the time, I was a Dominican.
Mm.
So we were there, and in the he went to Chiquinquirá, and he went to, after the lunch, he take a nap. It's like a compulsory, mandatory, you take a nap in the Catholic Church.
So, sounds good.
Yeah, so he went to take a nap, and with my good brother, Andres, say, now the opportunity for going and take a picture in the Basilica. Mm. Now it's empty. And all this decoration for the Pope. He said, okay,
so you went, go. You went sneaking around while everyone else is asleep,
yes,
basically.
We're going and take a picture there. When I coming back, he say, okay, I'm going. I am coming back from to the old convent. The old convent was the like the suite from the Pope. When I walk in front, Your Holiness opened the door. I mean, like up and say, hi. And say, hi, Your Holiness. And like was scary. And he say, where is the people? And say, the people is mostly sleeping. Maybe it's downstairs. And say, where is the chapel? I say to him, but you have the chapel in your room. No, I need to go into the chapel. So when I start talking with him, the security from the Vatican going upstairs and say, what's the matter? And he say, no worry. And he say, he asked me, do you have a rosary? He said, yes, Your Holiness. And I showed my rosary. And say, oh, it's a nice rosary. He said, yes. So he gave me a rosary. I keep my rosary in my home. Mm.
So you just bumped into the Pope in a corridor, basically?
Yes.
While you're sneaking around?
Yeah, I say, hi.
Let's talk about when you came to Australia. How long have you actually been in Australia?
Almost 13 months. I got Australian last year.
Right. And your partner's Australian, is it?
It's Australian citizen.
Okay. Where did you meet your partner?
In USA, Houston, Texas.
And how did you meet him?
Oh, how?
We want to know everything.
It's my private. I met in Houston, in the Paris.
Were you still part of the church when you met your partner?
No.
No?
I was outside of the Catholic, outside of the community.
Now, one thing that you talked about earlier was, and it was quite surprising for me, is that in Colombia, you can actually get married.
Yes.
And you and your partner did that while you were in Colombia,
yes,
correct?
We got married, went to a notary, made like a registration of our relation, and after we went, we made a party in our apartment in Bogota, and my family went there, and my sister, what is going on this kind of party? And my other sister say, Henry get married with William. He say, oh, I didn't know. He say, oh, you didn't see the decorations?
It really surprises me that a country that's 99% Catholic and two gay people can get married.
yeah,
or go through a civil ceremony anyway. Mm. When did it come about? How did it happen there?
Because mostly people has a unions working together with the his partner, and his partner died, and his family came and take all these things. Mm. So they say, okay, this we're working together. This parish belong to me. So we made the with the politicians, and we got the it's a funny article. The article number 13 in the constitutions give the civil rights to the gay people in Colombia.
So they've actually made an amendment to the constitution to allow civil unions, in effect.
Yeah. So you can charge after the 2 years.
Yeah.
You can charge your money, currency, everything.
Yeah. And it just seems surprising that a country that's that Catholic.
Mm.
That got through when we have trouble in sort of...
Oh, Australia, sort of, yeah. Still kind of.
Yeah, I mean, and Australia also, and America, lots of places where you'd think they're meant to be more civilly or more liberal, that doesn't happen, but you've got that.
Yeah, and also it's so funny because in front of the notary is the biggest Catholic church.
Oh, really?
Yes, it's like a...
So you go and get your photos taken outside afterwards.
I had a picture like that.
Okay. Cool. Well, I'm afraid we've come to the end of the show.
Wow, so, yeah. Over so quickly again.
And that's as for another week. And yes. Thanks to Henry for coming on the show tonight. Or today, I should say. I'm a way ahead of myself. Yeah. You know, sunshine outside.
Too many Bloody Marys like me.
I know, it's the Bloody Mary.
The 10 Bloody Marys we're all thinking about.
Yeah.
Also, thanks to Heath on reception today for helping us out. That was really good. Coming up next on Joy 94.9 is Kaz Mitchell from the Women's Zone.
Hopefully she's recovered from last week.
Yes, I'm sure she has. I haven't actually seen her yet. No, it's... Oh, no, I'm being told it's not. But the Women's Zone is coming up. Kaz, I think, is still sick. But never mind.
Yeah.
But that's us for another week. From Mark, Howe, and myself, Hugh.
See everyone.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLB, TIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.